Good morning. I, about 3 years ago, embarked on a journey to memorize Romans chapters 5 through 8, and I had never memorized such a big quantity of scripture. And I remember these two little birdies right down here on the first row had told me different times that when you start to memorize a big chunk of scripture, everything you read, every sermon you hear, every song that's played starts to remind you of what you're memorizing. And I found that to be very true. And as we've worked and journeyed through Revelation this year, what I keep coming back to is Romans 8. It is my overcomer chapter. And I can remember as I was in chapter 5 and then chapter 6, it was all great stuff, and I learned so much. Then chapter 7, I had to wrestle with sin over and over again, and that was just really bogging me down. But I kept remembering, once I get to chapter 8, I'm at the victory part. And so today I share with you as a blessing, because you are all overcomers through Jesus Christ our Lord, his actual words and his very blessing to you. This is Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who don't live according to the sinful nature, but who live according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mindset on what that nature desires. But those who live according to their spirit have their mind set on what the spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who live according to the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled by the spirit, if the spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if the Spirit of Christ lives in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. Actually, I should have said, therefore, sisters. We have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs with God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation itself was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our times of need. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And the one who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say in response to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who is he? Who can bring any charge against those God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, was raised to life and is seated at the right hand of God, is also interceding for us. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or nakedness or famine or danger or sword? For it is written, we face death all day long. We are led as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God.